Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic.
It's my pleasure to welcome back Patrick Parfitt to the podcast. Welcome back, Patrick.
Hey, James. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. And for those that may not be that familiar with you, you know, you've been on the podcast at least once or twice. You work with Rockwell Automation. You're helping a lot of companies with automation activities, obsolescence, connectivity, and maintenance and reliability with all those great things. Although super brief, can you give us a brief background and introduction to yourself and Rockwell?
Yeah. So, I've been with Rockwell about 7 years now. Prior to that, I was in the U.S. Navy. Started out as an electronics technician on their nuclear reactor systems on aircraft. So that's where I got my introduction to the whole maintenance and reliability concept, and then actually came into Rockwell Services Group after I got out as a reliability professional and now as a reliability program manager. So looking at about 13 years within maintenance and reliability.
All right. Excellent. And I'm guessing within Rockwell, you have to do some remote work. You're not always going to customer sites, correct?
Yeah, definitely. So actually, I work from home with this current role that I'm in now, just because I do report into our headquarters, which is based out of Milwaukee, and I was able to not move and stay in Alabama. So, and even on top of that, when I was in the Navy, we would get deployed, and you know, granted, even though your workspace is on a ship, you're still disconnected from the world, right? So, very relevant in today's environment and currently what everything's having to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is your definition of remote working? Is it just being separated from the world, or is there more to it than that?
So I like to break it up into two different factors. I think when we talk about remote work, we're looking at it in two different spectrums, right? So you have working outside your normal environment, I think is working remotely, and then also working away from your team or coworkers. So even now, as we get into the more, I would say, you know, we talked about connected enterprise or industry 4.0, even the workspace is becoming connected, where even though you may work from an office or with maybe your direct manager in a building, you could have coworkers, team members, or people on other projects that are also working remotely in different locations around the world. So there's two different spectrums to, you know, that remote working. There is working remotely away from, you know, your normal environment that you're used to. And then there's also the working remotely away from your team or coworkers.
All right. Excellent. And it sounds like, you know, based on your experience, you've done this quite a few times. Time zones, countries, cultures, remote working with all those. But what makes remote working effective? Why is it not effective, or what do we got to do to make it effective? Because it's not always.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's something that I've kind of learned doing different things. To me, and I call it the three C's for remote working. But you got consistency, you have compartmentalization, and you have communication. So perfect example is when I first started working in this role, and it was my first, I would say, true working from home job. It's kind of an odd feeling because you are now at your house. You know, you have the rest of your now personal life integrated into your professional life. So you need to be consistent with a schedule, and something that I've learned to be more effective. So still wake up at the same time that you would normally, right? I still wake up at 5:30 in the morning. I still get ready for work every morning, get dressed, right? Have a schedule, have like rough start and stop times that I have set up for my day, right? I'm usually starting work around 6:30, 7 o'clock, and I'm usually done with the day between 3 and 4, maybe even later than that, depending on what meetings I have or what work I have to do. So I like to keep that schedule and then also have lunch around noon. And I try and be consistent with that every day, Monday through Friday. So by doing that, I'm now creating this kind of work day and I'm not having to react to the personal environment. All right. I want to talk about compartmentalization too. I think that is key, where you have to separate yourself if you're working remotely from your environment, because you're in an environment that isn't conducive, right? It's something different. It's outside of your normal working environment, or what we would consider normal. So now you're going to have to try and figure out how to work effectively. And by doing that, you need to compartmentalize. What I mean by that is you just be able to separate yourself from that kind of the outside noise, whether you're working in a hotel room, whether you're working at your house, or whether you're, you know, on an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf, right? And so being able to kind of compartmentalize and separate yourself, creating a space, you know, for you to be able to work in. And then lastly, that communication piece is, if you're outside your normal work area, you need to actually increase your amount of communication, you know, whether you're with your boss, with your team, because now you don't have that kind of physical interaction with them daily. You're not seeing them every day. So the communication actually has to increase to continue to be as effective or be more effective.
Yeah, I like the three C's there, you know, consistency, compartmentalization, and communication. I have to agree, it's vital. Same thing. I have my consistent routine. I get up in the morning, I work out, eat, shower, come to my office by 7:30, and then I have that defined lunchtime, as long as someone doesn't shove a meeting time in there, and I wrap up roughly around the same time every day. I got my office set up separate from the rest of the house. You know, that helps me with my compartmentalization. And then communication is absolutely critical, you know, whether it's text message, Zoom, phone calls, whatever, being able to increase that level of communication, I think, is absolutely important.
Now, yeah. And I think your work environment's kind of similar to mine, where, you know, my team that we all work together, we're actually all remote. So, you know, I live in Birmingham, Alabama. Another coworker is in Atlanta. Another one is in South Carolina. And then two are actually up in Milwaukee. So we're very separate. And I know that you have like a similar environment. So to be able to be effective, that communication piece is key, because again, you're not just bumping into them in the hallway or sitting next to them in a cubicle where you can just pop over and ask questions. So, you know, increasing that communication, I think, is important, not only to being effective in your own job, but for the team itself and being effective.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what contributes to the ineffectiveness of remote working? I got some ideas, but I want to hear yours.
I would say the opposite of what we just talked about, right? So, you know, letting that outside noise kind of come in and affect how you're working. You know, perfect example is like last summer, right? And that was my first time really working remotely. And, you know, my like stepson was home from school. And so you want to be involved with them. You want to have family time, but trying to balance that with your professional life and letting that get involved. So trying to take out that outside noise, stay consistent with your schedule and still be able to, you know, have that kind of like benefit of the at-home working, right? Where, you know, getting them registered for school and doing that kind of thing, that kind of comes into play. So taking out that noise also to me is, there's a little bit of a technology piece too, as well. I think that for me, where I tried working just from my laptop, and it was very, very cumbersome for me. I was used to having multiple monitors, having a big desk where it was really spread out. And when I first started out, I had just, you know, a small desk with my laptop. I've now upgraded, right, and I've made my office the way I want it to be over time, but initially I found it very, like, it was very hard for me to work just because I was trying to stare at, you know, a small computer screen. So take into account the technology as well, take into account, the consistency piece, and that outside noise.
Yeah, absolutely. I got the same thing. You know, when I first started, it was laptop on the couch. Now I got the desk with the multiple monitors set up. I got it all set up now. And I think that makes a big difference, because you're used to working in a certain way. And when you take that away, it things become a little bit more difficult. There's a time crunch to it. All those things happen. And then, you know, some of those distractions that come up, I think that's one of the other things that happens from the ineffectiveness. I have three young kids. They're not at school right now because of what's going on. So that's just an added distraction that comes up from time to time, right? And I think there's certain things we can do to mitigate that, but I think there's certain things that we have to come to accept as part of this as well.
Yeah, you know, because there's supposed to be that work-life balance. There's supposed to be like some benefit, like if you work from home normally. I know a lot of people are working from home now, you know, dealing with COVID-19. But, you know, one thing, and again, my stepson is a little bit older. He's just turned 12. But what you can, you know, I actually will go in and I'll tell him like, hey, man, I have meetings at these times. You know, I actually try to communicate my schedule to him. So that communication piece isn't just within your working team, but also with the family team as well. You know, we have a chalkboard downstairs that I painted using chalkboard paint in the kitchen, and I'll actually write down my schedule sometimes, especially if it's a really busy schedule, so that they understand like, hey, these are the times that he's going to have to be, you know, completely away, you know, in his own little work world to try and keep that outside distraction.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of that, what changes can people make to their home office to be a little bit more effective? I like the idea with the chalkboard in the office hours. What else can we do?
So I definitely, like you were talking about, I have my own room that's dedicated. And I know that's not always possible for everyone, but try and just find that you can quietly work and kind of zone in and be in your own zone, right? Whether that some people do work better on the couch. So I'm not going to say, you know, they'll completely eliminate that, but you need to find what works for you and your apartment. You know, I guess going back to the remote working experience, I did my master's degree completely distance. And I had a one bedroom apartment while I was doing it. So I really worked from the kitchen table the whole time, right? I didn't work on the couch in front of the television. I tried to limit my distractions by working from the kitchen table, which was kind of away from everything. And I could kind of get away and get into my zone there. So if you're going to make your home office more effective, try and get it far away from the distraction as you can and that outside noise. And then also set it up to where it's comfortable for you to work. I don't have like, you know, video game consoles in here. I do have a television hooked up, but you know, it's just a straight cable box, right? So I, you know, can't like turn on Netflix or anything like that. You know, so I try and limit those distractions that are available to you within that working space as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've done similar to you. Instead of a chalkboard, I put up a whiteboard wall. So I got the special paint, painted that whole wall with whiteboard paint, so we can use that. You know, I've set it up so the kids know if the door's closed, don't come in. But if it's open, by all means, you can come in and ask me questions, whatever. And it kind of creates that separation for when I'm on calls, that type of thing. I'd like to say it works perfectly, but it works about 90% of the time.
yeah, I agree with that one.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you are doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
Now, what tools can we use to improve the communication piece and collaboration? Because I know you mentioned communication is one of those three C's. So what tools do we have to really drive that collaboration? Because especially if you're a new worker or a new remote worker, sometimes getting that collaboration can be difficult.
So some of it's going to lean back on the technology, but also just, I think, leveraging platforms that your company currently has as well. So we have Microsoft Teams, and before, you know, the coronavirus kind of took effect, one of the projects I had within our little group was to make a Microsoft Teams space for us to be able to manage our work and collaborate better because of the remoteness of the team. So I actually went through and did that, you know, was learned about SharePoint, all that, and was able to build that out. And so within there is actually a collaboration space that I built. So there's an application within Microsoft Teams that has like a whiteboard that you can draw from. And then there's also some mind mapping tools. So I put those in there. I use the planner to be able to kind of manage what contracts we have going on and put a system around that. Created some Power BI dashboards where we're pulling in, you know, like from the sales funnel, so we understand what our workflow is. You know, all of these things, and you know, I know this is a reliability podcast. It's also another way that you can kind of reliability projects in the same way. We're leveraging those platforms and using that. Another good technology that, and I think you guys use it as well, James, is Smartsheet. Smartsheet is a good tool from a mobile kind of working platform to manage projects, manage tasks and work you have to do, because it is an online platform. So now everybody can, you're not trying to, you know, send and share spreadsheets and everything else between everybody else. You know, those to me are some of the bigger tools I think that are out there that companies are using. But even now, a lot of the Microsoft products are very shareable. Using Skype or Zoom, you know, for team meetings or collaboration, they have the ability now where you can kind of use some of those digital whiteboards or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, technology is an important part of that. But I think one of the other things that often gets overlooked is, you know, when you jump on one of those Zoom calls or you're having a regular call or whatever it is, take the time to do what you normally would do within the organization, which is talk about what happened on the weekend, do that type of stuff, because it still creates that relationship and you need those relationships to be collaborative, I think.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And so a perfect example is I was in a meeting was last week, right? And now, and I'm even using it and I normally don't, is the camera function. And so one of the senior managers within our group was like, yeah, you know, because I can't see everybody now, I'm actually, you know, and he actually got dressed, right? He was in a collared shirt, even though he was sitting at home, was using his camera to be able to communicate more effectively. And I was like, wow, you know, that actually, to me, it shows that one, you care and that you're trying to be, you know, more connected with the people that you're working with, whether it's talking about what happened over the weekend, or talking about what's going on with your family or anything like that. But actually taking the time to, you know, share yourself, be ready for work, and do all that. It was actually kind of impactful, even though I know he was trying to do that, but he didn't explain it that way.
You'd be amazed at what you can pick up through the visual cues when you use the camera. I'd like to say I'm 100% using it. I'd say I'm probably about 75% of the time I'm using it for calls now. But it does make a big difference because a lot of communication is nonverbal, and having that visual helps dramatically.
It does, you know, especially in the world of text messages that we live in now, all the time, you know, text messages can be misconstrued and taken differently because you don't know the tone in which they were said. I would say that a lot of that also comes when you're talking about just from the verbal piece. So by using the camera, you can actually see people's facial expressions. You can understand what their emotions are. That can help that collaboration and that remote working even be more effective. So I know it's, you know, a lot of people don't like to see themselves in camera, or they feel like, you know, that's, you know, kind of embarrassing, but if you can figure out a way to set it up where, you know, you have your good lighting or good angle or whatever it may be, you know, use the camera to your advantage, because it will actually help your message get through to your team better.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, staying on track with collaboration, remote working, how do we make remote meetings more effective?
And so I think this is in general, this could be for even in-person meetings, but have set agendas. Yeah, I think a lot of times people, especially remote working, it's really easy just to click the Skype meeting or, you know, Microsoft Teams meeting button up in Outlook, and then it'll just add the link there and that's it, right? And so then you log in and it's like, all right, you know, all I have is the meeting description to go off of. So now I'm confused and I don't even know what's going on. So by actually, if you create a meeting, make sure that you actually put a good meeting agenda together. That way, you know, people understand what they're showing up to, why they're showing up to it, and then what needs to be kind of accomplished in the meeting, or else it just becomes kind of noise, right? It just becomes another meeting that you have to go to and it's not very effective. So that's one thing. And the thing, again, going back to what we were just talking about, is using the cameras and enabling your team to be able to do that. So if you're a manager out there, a key point for this is to make sure that the team is supported in a way where they feel they're comfortable in doing that. They have the technology at home. I know expenses are tight right now, but, you know, if they don't have webcams, you know, make sure we're able to get them webcams or something like that. If they don't have headphone pieces that can provide good audio, you know, supply them with that. All of these will help make these meetings better and more collaborative.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually went through a virtual meeting training course on LinkedIn Learning last week just to make sure I was you know, using some of the best practices, but, you know, webcams are a must. Have that agenda out it well in advance with some of the things that came up. The other big thing was know the tool you're using. So if you're using Zoom, GoToMeeting, whatever it is, know how the tool actually works. Know how to do the whiteboard functions, that type of stuff. I don't know how many meetings I've been on in the last couple of weeks, and the person hosting is like, how do you do this on here? And they're asking people how to do certain things within the tool, right? So you got to know that tool. And it's just some very basic things like that. It was only about 45 minutes, but I think it was very well done. Gave you some great insights to effective meetings for remote workers.
Oh, definitely. You know, and again, I don't have a whole lot of experience with Zoom either, but one thing I have learned is that some of these platforms will automatically turn your camera on. So if you're not prepared for that, you need to make sure that you are, because, you know, if you're in your pajamas or something, you need to be aware that some of these, you know, if somebody sets up a Zoom meeting, especially if it's a customer or, you know, maybe somebody at another department that doesn't know you, you know, be prepared that, you know, you may be on camera if you're not expecting it.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other thoughts on remote working that we haven't covered? Is there anything, other big watch outs, big things to do?
You know, I, again, going back, I really think that that compartmentalization piece is key, is in being able to separate yourself from, you know, all of that outside noise. When I was in the Navy and on the ship, granted, we, spaces were there, but, you know, like we had, that's where work was done and that was it. Right. And then we had, you know, like say like where we all area where everybody kind of slept and we had a common area, you know, that work didn't enter that space. And I would say wherever you are at home or in a hotel room or wherever it may be, is to make sure that you're able to kind of have those dedicated spaces where you can kind of get away. Right. You know, like I don't do work outside of my office. If I do work, I go to my office and I get it done. You know, yeah, I'll take a phone call or something downstairs, but everything always happens in my office. Outside of that, you know, everything else happens personal wise. If I take a lunch break or something, I don't eat in my office. I go downstairs and I make sure I get away. You know, to me, that's a really just a key thing, is finding out where you can make that happen within your environment.
I think that's a great way to kind of tie all this together. You know, is we got to compartmentalize, have your dedicated space. That way you don't get distracted by other things as well. You know, because it's very easy if you're out somewhere where not in your dedicated workspace and there's a lot of clutter or personal stuff going on, then you get distracted by that and it just leads to more issues.
Yeah. And I think long term too, and I've been doing this for a few years working specifically from home, is, you know, it tends to blend together if you don't do it that way. And so now it's hard to separate work from your personal life. And that can make it even more difficult, right? Or more stressful. So, you know, granted, it may be more efficient sometimes, but at the same time, it makes it, you know, kind of difficult in terms of just long-term effect in terms of stress, because you always feel like you're at work if you can't turn it off and turn it on. So by being able to compartmentalize and have that space, you can kind of do that. And now you can kind of manage that stress long term. And, you know, with this COVID-19 and how long it seems to be going out, who knows? You know, it could be several months. And, you know, if you're stuck at your house and then you always feel like you're at work, even when you're not working, that can be a very bad feeling. So. Yeah,
absolutely. Now, speaking of that, do you think this is going to change the way businesses operate long term?
You know, I think they're already kind of heading there. I think what it's expedite some of it. So when what I say is, you know, like Rockwell, we tend to be trying to use technology to do things. Like I said, before all the coronavirus, our team was already working remotely. But now what I think it's done is it's expedited maybe those other departments or other functions within our company that maybe weren't there yet to be able to do that. And so now what you're going to see, I think, in terms of business, is they're going to figure out where that works and where it doesn't. Because again, the personal physical touch of it is still very important, I think. You can't just completely cut off that interaction piece, you know, from the company. People still need to kind of interact with each other on a personal physical level. That is, you know, like whether it's like team building or just, you know, like having like outside work gatherings or something like that, where people are just interacting with each other outside of this kind of remote work environment. But there's a time and a place for it. And I think companies are going to learn where that is and what efficiencies they can do that with. Just like I think the financial crisis in 2008, kind of from a cost perspective, companies really learned what they could live with and live without. And now I think from a kind of a working environment, now people are going to learn what they can work with and work without.
Yeah, I think long-term it's going to change some things. Some things are going to go back to the way they were, but I think there is going to be a different look at remote working. And I think it's going to become a little bit more prevalent in certain areas. Doesn't mean you're exclusively working remote. It might be from now on, you can work 2 or 3 days remote and you got to come in those other days. It might be something like that. But I think it is going to start, we're going to start to see more of it stay for the long term, I think.
It is. Yeah. I think eventually it's going to end up being something that's going to be good. For example, you know, we as a company, because of it being based in Milwaukee, they normally do these summer hours, right? Where, you know, as long as you have like 40 hours in by the end of the week, you can kind of have that Friday where you can work remotely or something like that, or have the day off. I think maybe like programs like that will kind of be expedited where they're like, just like you said, James, all right, you know, you can be here. You need to be here maybe like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But then, you know, if you need to work remotely from home, you know, there, you know, you can log in and we'll track it that way. I think trust, this is going to be a big trust test for a lot of companies too, in terms of workers and who's going to be responsible enough to be able to manage their own workload and time. I think a lot of that's going to come out from this as well.
Yep.
But yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see what actually comes out of it. I think even from a technology piece, I think there's going to be some innovation within the remote working pieces to be able to make this happen and be more effective, probably quicker than it would happen without it, with all these stay-at-home work orders and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from remote working, from the conversation today?
It's that 3C piece, right? Consistency, compartmentalization, and communication. As always, you know, you may be better at some of those things, or some of those things may be more, I would say, readily available within your life. But find out which ones can be, I guess, work for you the best, and try and work on it. Again, you know, if you struggle with having a consistent schedule, find some way to have a documented reminder set up, do something. If you don't really have a space that you can isolate yourself, figure out how you can, you know, compartmentalize it the best way to work for you, whether it's setting up your office in your bedroom because you can shut the door or whatever it may be. And then communication is, and figure out how you can communicate better to your team and your coworkers, and then also to, you know, if you have a family or something, how can you communicate better to them so that they understand what the constraints are? So those 3 C's, man.
All right. Excellent. Well, I want to thank you for talking to us about remote working today. Definitely love that 3C approach. It definitely helps formalize or strategize how we should be doing remote working. But before we go, where can people find out more about you, get in contact with you, all those great things?
So, you know, I'm on LinkedIn. You can search Patrick Parker and I'll be there. And then also the website, so rockwellautomation.com, and then like, you know, our services and support. So you go in there and you'll be able to find our services and support. But I look forward to hearing from everyone, and thank you, James, for the opportunity to come and talk to you today.
All right. Thank you.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.